This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is the Matt McNeil Show. And I'm Todd Mickelson, sitting in for Matt McNeil, who's, I don't know what Matt's, do we know? We never know, do we, Patrick?
Last I heard, he was on some kind of Amazon adventure.
Ah, you mean just like in, that he bought from Amazon or in the Amazon?
I'll leave that in the minds of the listeners.
Oh, okay. Say, I see you have a Twins cap on. What do you think of the new graphics?
You know, they've actually grown on me quite a bit because when the one I have, obviously, if you're listening, you can't see me. It's the new M logo with the North Star, and which is still a very polarizing logo among the Twins fan base. But it's really, really grown on me over the last few months since it was introduced.
Yeah, I think it's better than the old one. It's just that, you know, I'm not really a sports fan, so I don't really care. But the old one, you know, TC, didn't really make sense unless you lived in Minnesota and knew that it was stood for Twin Cities.
Yeah, so. And they still have the TC logo as their home cap. But the thing that I think is cool, and this is just a theory about the M cap, is I believe it's an homage to the Washington Senators because they used to have a black W logo before they moved to Minnesota. So I honestly, right. I can't confirm it, but I think it's an homage to that history of the franchise.
Right, yeah. And I always like the North Star. And I thought it was, again, because I don't care. I actually like to watch hockey, but I don't care about professional sports and logos and jerseys and all that stuff. I thought it was hilarious when the Minnesota North Stars moved to Texas. Because Texas is the, you know, pretty much the most southern state, and they were called the North Stars, and their logo was an N, it pointed to a star. So, I guess I don't know what they did with the. I know they just changed the name to the Stars, but I don't know what the logo is even. So I don't know why I'm talking about this. I'm obviously don't know what I'm talking about. And actually, I thought it was sad when the North Stars moved to Texas. I just thought it was funny that they were named the North Stars and they moved to the southernmost state. But I used to be a North Star fan when I was a kid. Like, my brother won he got to go skating with J.P. Parisi because we went to Mr. Steak, and Mr. Steak had a drawing where you did a drawing, and the winners, there was a handful of them, like five kids could skate with one of the kind of the popular stars on the North Stars. And J.P. Parisi was always our favorite guy in our family, so he got to skate with J.P. Parisi. I'm realizing, a really boring conversation. Are we on the air already?
I might be getting some phone calls saying, why are you off air?
Yeah. Say, this is, I tripped over this story, and I didn't know about this particular piece of Minnesota legislation. I'm reading from the Minnesota Reformer, one of our favorite journalistic sources. Minnesota is 1 month into a daunting task, creating a new 1,000-employee state agency centered on the well-being of children and families. The legislature this year created the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, which will oversee a number of children-focused state programs that have resided in our agencies, including the Departments of Human Services, Education, and Health and Public Safety. The goal, said Tiki Brown, DHS Assistant Commissioner of Children and Family Services, is to deepen the alignment and coordination to better improve our services. Those services, including child support, child care, juvenile justice initiatives, and licensing for foster care and child care centers, are some of the most important and most challenging for state government. But the payoff can be great. Research shows that adverse childhood experiences like violence in the home, neglect, abuse, addiction, an imprisoned parent are at the root of many of the social ills the government must confront when those people become adults. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that ACEs can increase the risk of injury, sexually transmitted infections, maternal and child health problems, including teen pregnancy and pregnancy complications and fatal death, and also in involvement in sex trafficking and a wide range of chronic diseases and leading causes of death such as cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and suicide. Nationally, 17% of adults report experiencing at least four of these types of traumatic childhood experiences. Minnesota ranked fifth in a recent national study among the 50 states and D.C. for child well-being. And the child poverty rate here is one of the best in the nation, just shy of 11%. The highest child poverty rate in the nation is, of course, in Mississippi. 28% childhood poverty in Mississippi. Of course, a red state. Minnesota, where the Republicans, especially the Republican elected officials in the legislature, are basically blaming Democrats for being pedophiles, but Minnesota ranks fifth in for child well-being, and it's ran by the DFL exclusively right now. This relatively healthy atmosphere is excluding many Minnesota children, however. The North Star State, oh, there it is, North Star State. That's why I was talking about sports. I had a grand plan. I was going to tie this in, see? The North Star State. No, that's not true. I just tripped over it, and it's a total coinkydink. Anyway, the North Star State has a long history of racial disparities, which are some of the worst in the nation in categories like income, home ownership, health, and education. The legislature and Governor Tim Walz hope the new Department of Children, Youth, and Families will be an upstream solution to these issues that will finally make Minnesota a healthy place for all children, not just most of them. It goes on. It's actually a really interesting article. It's got a lot of details. And, of course, it includes Republicans earlier this year were critical of the new agency, arguing that implementation would be nearly impossible and questioned whether it was necessary for Minnesota. Same ones who, of course, they just focus on the disparities with children in Minnesota. And although this agency shows a lot of promise that it can fix a lot of these disparities, they're still complaining. Their biggest crybaby, Representative Walter Hudson, he in March said the new agency would shift attention away from children and instead toward the government. What we're doing here is we're replacing love and intimacy with ideology and bureaucracy. He comes up with kind of weird, cringy. We're replacing love and intimacy? We're talking about kids who experience, you know, violence at home. That's not love and intimacy. Ugh. This guy, even though I don't follow him on Twitter, if I go to the For You thing on Twitter, it always, the first tweet is from Walter Hudson, the biggest crybaby in Minnesota, the likes of which we've never seen. Anyway, I'm not going to stay on this article because it has a lot of detail. I would urge you to go to the Minnesota Reformer and look for it. It's entitled Minnesota Begins Building New Children-Focused Agency, written by Michelle Griffith, who digs in deep whenever she writes anything for the Minnesota Reformer. So, I thought that was a really super interesting thing that it just goes to show how now that the DFL is in charge, they're really listening to Minnesotans and coming up with, I think, some really creative and good ideas on how to help. The Department of Health and Human Services was having trouble with all of this stuff, you know, giving all these kind of adequate services. They were having trouble getting enough licenses out for childcare, you know, new childcare places that want to open up. They would have to wait to get a license. We need them. We need more childcare. So, and talking about red and blue states, by the way, Texas right now, another red state, the rate Texans pay for energy has skyrocketed in recent days as hotter than usual temperatures cause demand for electricity to soaring across the state. Texans are paying about $275 per megawatt hour for power on Saturday. Then the cost rose more than 800% to a whopping $2,500 per megawatt hour on Sunday in one day. Demand for electricity hit a record-setting 83,500 megawatts on August 1st. The energy provider said that the energy provider, of course, is a private company, and Texas wanted to have its own grid run by itself, and they are now famous for breaking down constantly and being extremely expensive. So what ends up happening in the red state of Texas because they can't keep their electricity on? The federal government comes in. Dark Brandon has to come in. Texas gets $60 million in federal funds to strengthen power. Lawmakers scramble to make sure more natural gas power plants are built for the Texas grid. Has solar power helped out the Texas power grid this summer? Let's click on that. Let's see what it says there. With a long stretch of triple-digit heat in the forecast, a lot of North Texans will have their minds on the power grid, questioning whether it will hold up this summer. CBS News Texas recently received a viewer question about solar power's contribution to the grid. So we looked into the numbers and took the question to an energy expert. On Tuesday, solar energy production on ERCOT, that's the name of the company that provides that has the electric grid in Texas, their grid peaked at 2 p.m. at the blah, blah, blah. Okay, blah, blah. Solar made up 15.5% of demand. Energy economist Ed Herz said that while that may not seem like a lot, every bit of energy counts on days where temperatures reach triple digits. Every incremental addition to the portfolio of power plants on the Texas grid has been helping, especially as we're hitting peak demand already this summer, and that was in June. This article is from June. Solar power generation in Texas has increased significantly over the past few years. For all of 2020, ERCOT data shows solar power accounted for just 2% of their energy. In 2021, went up to 4%. 2022 was 6%. So, they're building solar in Texas, even though they talk like they hate solar. what ended up happening because of this really hot weather going on is the Biden administration. Oh, and another thing Texas did, their Greg Abbott, their horrible, you know, I try and not talk bad about human beings, but Greg Abbott is not a human being. He's a ghoul. So I can talk bad about him. He got rid of a law that made it mandatory for outdoor workers, like construction workers, you know, a lot of state workers and stuff, people working on roads and things like that. It was mandatory for them to, I don't know, have a water break every, I don't know exactly what the numbers, every few minutes or every 15 minutes or something, I don't know. But it was mandatory to have them take a break and get some water and, you know, keep hydrated and get out of the heat for a little bit. And Greg Abbott made sure that that law went away because he's a ghoul. He's not a human being. He ain't a human being. He's a ghoul. So the Biden administration, I saw it in the article here, I kind of remembered the details enough, is that the Biden administration declared a some sort of like weather emergency. And so now the workers can get water again. So Texans, actual humans who live in Texas, are very happy for the Biden administration doing that so that they can stay alive. I mean, people have died. The mayor of San Antonio was on a video connected with this, and I heard him say that, I think it was last summer, a guy died, and a lot of other people had to go to the hospital. Greg Abbott doesn't care about that, though, because he's a ghoul. So, yeah. Well, tons to talk about today, both things that are going on. I mean, we're looking at the possibility of Fani Willis indicting Trump. It's looking like that might not happen this week anymore. Still might happen this week, but probably not today or tomorrow. But it could happen at any moment. So just a lot of interesting things going on. I also want to talk about my congressman, Dean Phillips. He was on TV this Sunday talking about some things that I think are very important that we need to talk about here on the radio. Let's take a break and come back. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be right back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. Another, the chaos over in Trump world. Donald Trump blared Sunday morning that his legal team would be immediately asking for a recusal of District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan from his latest criminal case, proclaiming very powerful grounds for that demand. But of course, he didn't say what the powerful grounds were or are. So just to keep it straight to you, District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan is the judge overseeing this newest, January 6th, not conviction yet, soon, what is it called? Why do the words leave me right when I need to use them?
Indictment.
Yeah, there it comes back to me. As long as I did everything right and they indicted me. Anyway, so Trump says they're going to immediately ask for Judge Tanya Chutkan to be recused from the case, because they have very powerful grounds for the demand. Hours later, his newest attorney, John Lauro, would publicly walk back that plan, saying Trump was speaking with a layman's political sense and reacting primarily because Chutkan was nominated by the bench by a Democrat, but she was confirmed 95-0 by the Senate in 2014. Barack Obama, of course, is the one who nominated her, but all of the Republicans voted in favor of her, except it looks like maybe 5 who just didn't vote, but still 95-0. So Republicans can't really complain about her. It would be absolutely hypocritical. Of course, do you think that's going to stop them from complaining about her? Anyway, Lauro said on a podcast, "We haven't made a final decision on that issue at all. I think as lawyers, we have to be very careful of those issues and handle them with the utmost delicacy." Right. That's what Trump's going to do. On just this morning, Trump was again hammering on the recusal issue, calling Chutkan a judge of Special Counsel Jack Smith's dreams.
Judge of his dreams, who must be recused.
The back and forth on public airwaves and social media underscores the familiar tension between Trump and his legal team, which has been rocked by infighting, departures, and conflicting advice in recent months. All of it, however, is secondary to Trump's own whims and instincts, which have served him politically. But, well, I don't know if you can say that anymore. A lot of losing, whole lot of losing going on. But they're grading against the rules and norms of behavior for those charged with serious federal crimes. Lauro, the lawyer, the newest member of Trump's team, is working with attorney Todd Blanche in the latest criminal case, charges that Trump conspired to derail the transfer of power to Joe Biden after the 2020 election. But already, Trump has tested Lauro's public advice in a few ways, primarily by talking about the case at all, and often in incendiary ways. I think it's a bit different than our standard case, where we would pull our hair out if a client commented on a prosecutor or a judge, Lauro said on a podcast. He feels strongly that he needs to speak out, and he also, in particular, looks at this prosecution as a political prosecution. I think in his mind, it's sort of fair game for a political perspective to make these comments. I have a responsibility, certainly, as an officer of the court, to conduct the proceedings in a dignified manner, and I will do that at all times, except for when I'm on TV, he should have added at the end of that sentence. To the extent that I can make any appropriate suggestions to a client, I do. But as we know, sometimes clients follow our suggestions, sometimes they don't. Trump is never going to, of course. So, yeah, that's from a Politico article. And it's not a surprise whatsoever. It's not just Trump that's going and burying their defense, completely ruining. He's doing this with all of the different indictments, all of the different charges. He's just burying any slight chance that he can provide a defense for himself. So he's always going on TV talking about all this stuff, and it might get him thrown in jail. I think there's going to be some more discussion about that. Could be going on this moment, because his lawyers are supposed to get back to the judge in a protection case. Complicated. You've probably heard it talked about. I don't want to go into that right now, but they're supposed to be talking to the judge today, and I think it's very likely the judge is going to say, hey, by the way, your client better stop attacking me and everybody. Mike Pence, he's attacking everybody. He said, you know, most of the Republicans are looking like a bunch of weak jerks right now, because he wants Congress to step in and do something. Of course, he doesn't know how things work. Anyway, so I think the judge is going to say, hey, tell your client to stop it, or I'm going to throw him in jail. Anybody else would have been in jail by now for doing the things that Trump is doing on his Truth Social BS platform and in speeches. Just absolutely atrocious crap that he's been saying all weekend, you know, ever since this latest indictment. And like I said, anyone else would have been thrown in jail by now. He went after Jack Smith's wife at one point, like on Friday or something. It's just disgusting is what it is. And he's not even really getting a slap on the wrist. So we'll see what happens today, what the judge says. I believe the judge is going to give another warning and basically says, hey, if he does this one more time, he's in jail. Can you tell him that? I don't think Trump has to be there today, or we would have been seeing, you know, the media covering his airplane all day. Don't know why they have to do that, but listen, we got to take a break, and we'll come back in a short period of time here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be right back. I see you calling. AM AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Todd Mikkelsen sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. Another reminder of how long things take to pan out. Just today, former Minneapolis police officer Tao Theo, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, was sentenced to 4¾ years in prison for aiding and abetting manslaughter in the 2020 killing of George Floyd, who, of course, was a Minneapolis black man whose neck was pinned to the ground by another officer's knee during a botched arrest, something that we all lived through for a long period of time. But then, after Dennis Chauvin was convicted, it kind of went out of the news. That was the ending everybody was waiting for. But it goes on. It's just when we're not watching it, you know. I mean, this took 3 years. Is that right? Yeah, 3 years. Back in Watergate times, the crimes that went on in 1972, a lot of the guys that committed some of those crimes didn't go to jail until 1977, 5 years. About almost 3 years after Nixon resigned. It's too bad Nixon didn't go to jail with them in 1977, because I think that the whole world would have been different, and I don't think we would be – I mean, we'd have nothing to complain about, so I shouldn't complain, right? No, I'm just kidding. All of the criming going on by Republicans cheating to get into the White House every time that they have made it into the White House, because it's the only way they can get into the White House. But that's when we're watching everything. Now, yes, the DOJ, people are saying, you know, that it didn't go fast enough. But now, after Special Counsel Jack Smith was appointed, then things started moving extremely fast. But a lot because of the very intense investigations by the January 6th Select Committee in Congress. And, you know, they were doing very intense investigations for a couple years. At least 18 months before they started presenting it. And then Jack Smith has been doing more investigation. This is the most complicated case in the history of the country. It's just so wide-ranging, and there are so many people involved in it. And only a little bit of it is even going to get, seen, talked about in court. There's, again, the feces fire hose. There's just so many things that you could indict and convict Donald Trump on. Right now, he's only up for like 516 years, I think, total, if he gets guilty of all the, now we're up to 78 different charges. Something like that. The numbers are astronomical in both senses. But what if we talked about the fact that he knew how bad COVID was? There's audio tape of him talking to Bob Woodward, saying, "Bob, you don't know how bad this is. It's just you catch it through the air, and it ruins your lungs, and you die. It kills you. You don't know how bad it is." And then he goes and tells the American people, "Only 15 people in the United States have it, and by next week it'll be zero." That's what he was doing. And we had 1.5 million people die. I'm not sure exactly what the number is up to. But can you imagine, again, close your eyes and imagine that it's the year 2015. If somebody came from the future and said, "Hey, I just came here from the year 2023, not far into the future, and I'm coming back to tell you something. In between 2020 and 2023, more than 1 million, almost 1.5 million Americans are going to die from a pandemic, a disease that's going to turn into a pandemic. And I'll tell you something else. The reason that that number is so high is because next year Trump is going to win the election. I would have said, get out of here. Trump ain't going to win. Hillary will win and we'll keep the inspectors in China. China will turn out to be like SARS. I mean, COVID. It'll be contained because Hillary's going to win. What if we charged and tried him on that? I mean, just that audio tape to Bob Woodward and then videotape of him in the press room on the same day in the White House, you think 12 peers would find him guilty of dereliction of duty and not holding up his oath to try and protect America and the people who live in America? You know? Yeah, when you think about going back to that, and then you think about all there were convictions. Well, they weren't convicted because we couldn't bring them to court, but there was recommendations to arrest many, a lot of them were Russians, by the Mueller report. You know, Trump keeps saying the Mueller report came out and it said no collusion. That's a lie. That is a lie. It did not say no collusion. It said buttloads of collusion. Ding, ding, ding. Hey. But then Trump did what he's accusing Biden of doing. Used our DOJ, our Department of Justice, to just ignore the Mueller report. Our attorney general, he used our attorney general to lie and say there was nothing to see in the Mueller report. He should have at least been impeached, and he should have been tried for multiple crimes back then. And that's not because Biden is weaponizing the DOJ or the government. Biden is doing nothing of the sort. Biden is being very careful to not say a word about any of this stuff. And when asked about it, he said, I have not talked to the Attorney General, and I will not be talking to the Attorney General. He does what he does. I do what I do. The DOJ is the people's DOJ. And the Attorney General is the people's Attorney General. And this Attorney General appointed a special counsel to work for on behalf of the United States, the people of the United States. That's why this case is called United States versus Trump. And that special counsel orchestrated an investigation, used previous investigation information, and put together a presentation for regular American citizens who were sitting on a grand jury. He said, hey, here's everything we found out in our investigations. Do you think there should be any indictments because of this information? You normal American people, do you think there should be any indictments because of this information? And every single one of those normal people, more than 12, I'm not an expert on how grand juries work, but they unanimously said yes, there should be multiple indictments on multiple people. That's how this works. Biden didn't do anything. Merrick Garland even didn't do anything on it, but appoint a special counsel. And he did that to further separate the powers, to get him to pick somebody who's not even within the DOJ, to do a completely separate thing unchecked by the Attorney General, removing it many, many layers away from Joe Biden. That's how this works. And if somebody tries to tell you otherwise, this is what you tell them. All right? We all have to stick together and keep each other informed so we know how to argue against the crazy idiots who are saying stupidity like Joe Biden is prosecuting his political enemy. That's a lie. It's a lie. So we can't let the people lie. Those people lie. Let's take another break. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be right back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting into the Matt McNeil Show and playing the drum machine with Patrick on the guitars in that song. That was a quick one. So another lie that people, especially Donald Trump, says is that in the E. Jean Carroll case, he was found to not have raped her. This is today. Was the second time, or maybe it was over the weekend. It was actually today. A judge ruled against Trump because Trump was trying to sue E. Jean Carroll and claim damages and say that E. Jean Carroll actually defamed him by saying that he raped her. Well, in the statement that the judge said today, this is the second time that he's saying this. Essentially, the only issue on which the jury did not find in Mrs. Carroll's favor was whether she proved that Mr. Trump raped her within the narrow technical meaning of that term in the New York Penal Code. If you go down a little bit, it says, as the court explained in its recent decision denying Mr. Trump's motion for a new trial on damages and other relief in the Carroll case, based on all of the evidence at trial and the jury's verdict as a whole, the jury's finding that Mr. Trump sexually abused Ms. Carroll implicitly determined that he forcibly penetrated her. In other words, that Mr. Trump in fact did rape Ms. Carroll, as that term commonly is used and understood in contexts outside of the New York penal law. So that just means that in New York legal jargon, they only use the term sexually abused. But in this case, I don't want to get too technical because it's like gets gross. But since she couldn't prove exactly what it was he penetrated her with, they couldn't call it rape in the legal jargon. But the judge has now said in two different rulings that, in fact, the jury did find that Trump raped E. Jean Carroll. And don't let him lie to you, for crap's sake. Also, very interesting, I think, what's going on with Mike Pence. I heard some talk saying that he has absolutely no chance. And I think that's fair. No chance of winning the primary. He's polling very low and Trump is polling very high and blah, 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 blah. But I said this Friday too, and I feel even stronger about it now because Pence has gotten stronger in his stance against Trump. He all of a sudden sounds like he's got a little bit of a backbone. I think he dipped his toe in the pool and he saw that it actually worked fairly well. Now, of course, still Republicans are calling him a traitor. Apparently they yelled at him in a parking lot where some place he was this weekend and called him a traitor and that he's not upholding the Constitution, even though exactly the opposite is true. But he even stood up to those people, some just regular Trumper Republicans. He stood up to them, too. So he is being strong all of a sudden. And I think he was waiting for a cue. He didn't say these things back, you know, to the January 6th committee. He didn't say, you know, I mean, he's talking all strong now, but he wasn't talking strong about this before. And I think, again, it's because he thinks that Trump's not going to be in the primary. I think that it's really true. I really think Mike Pence thinks Trump is not going to make it to next summer. He's not going to be in the primary. And, of course, it's looking about 98% sure that DeSantis isn't going to make it to the primary either. I really think DeSantis is going to drop out before the end of this year. Just, I mean, we got 2 weeks to wait for the debates. That's going to be something else. You know, who knows what could happen with the debates? Maybe a new person could emerge. Vivek Ramaswamy. He's going to look good in the debates. And he's going to say what Trumpers want. I mean, he's going to look good to them, I should say. Except they hate brown people, and he's brown people. He's a brown person. So, and his name doesn't sound good to them. It doesn't sound like, you know, just Thompson or something. And so, yeah, the debates are going to be very interesting. You know, Nikki Haley might do okay in the debates, but she's a woman and a brown person. Chris Christie will definitely do extremely well in the debates, and he's going to eviscerate Trump, whether Trump shows up or not. But is his poll numbers going to go up? DeSantis is going to look like the dummy he is, and I think it's going to be a big part of him deciding to just drop out of the race. That, and that he's spent all of his money already, and the race has barely started, and he had the biggest war chest, and he's already spent all of his money. The donors are scared to death of him now. They're like, oh, man, we made a big mistake with him. I gave him all my money, and he spent it, and he's looking like an idiot. He's making us all look like idiots. So with DeSantis gone and Trump gone, now you have a whole bunch of people who are polling very close to each other. One of them has to win the primary, right? I mean, things are changing so much. There's no money left in the Republican Party, both at the state and national level. Trump has spent all of his money. You know, can he afford even to keep flying around and do all these rallies? It looks like he's not going to be able to afford to do television ads, especially from jail. I really think Pence thinks that Trump is not going to make it. And, of course, everybody thinks DeSantis is not going to make it. And that's why these people who are polling at, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 are staying in. And I think they're rightly so, thinking, you know, I don't know, I could push through. Mike Pence could push through. I don't agree with all the people who are saying he has absolutely no chance, because I don't think they're using their imagination here. Everyone's talking about this like it's all normal, but their front runner has been indicted multiple times and is very likely going to be convicted, possibly by May or earlier. Convicted on probably multiple things. Why is nobody considering that part of it? You know? And when we come back, too, we're going to talk about this Dean Phillips thing in the beginning of the next hour. And there's an article that talks about some polling and talks about things about Biden. And I just think that everybody's just still treating this like it's a normal situation. And I think a lot of this stuff, like you've heard me say before, is just, it's not the same this time. Everything is completely different. So we'll talk more about that when we come back for the second hour. You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show for one more day here. We'll be back in a few minutes. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show for one more day today. Feel free to call in if you'd like, 952-946-6205. I don't know why the writing is so small. I can't see it very well, but I think I got it right. When they remodeled here, they reprinted a really small version of the phone number and just kind of stuck it by the window, and the other stuff I can't even see. So, call in to the station and demand that somebody print the phone number bigger so the people who are on air can read it easier. You would think I would have it memorized by now, so it's probably my fault anyway. So you've heard of Judge Cannon. She's the last year it seemed like she was a Trump judge. She ruled and, you know, was totally looking out for Trump in this documents case and blocked the FBI from being able to even look at the documents that they got from Mar-a-Lago. She was heavily reprimanded by the very conservative 11th Circuit. And then the FBI was able to go on with their job. But of course, you know, she did get the whole thing delayed by a couple weeks. And now she comes out swinging at special counsel Jack Smith this morning, striking two of that prosecutor's sealed filings and demanding an explanation of the legal propriety of using an out-of-district grand jury proceeding to continue to investigate in the Docs case. So that's something that Jack Smith was keeping under seal, and she revealed it in a filing. Did she do it on purpose, or is she an idiot? Is she a shill for Trump and she knew exactly what she was doing and is trying to throw sand in the gears, or is she just really stupid? Now that the cat's out of the bag, a lot of people are speculating that it's most likely that Jack Smith is using a grand jury, another grand jury, probably in Washington, D.C. So when she said out of district, that means out of South Florida, where her case is, where she is. So she's saying, is it even legal for you to be doing this? You know, between Jack Smith and Judge Cannon, who do you think is the one who knows what they're doing? Now, people are speculating that he's using another grand jury up in Washington, D.C., still investigating on the Docs case, because what was in that envelope that Rand Paul took to Russia that Trump gave him in order to bring to Russia?
Hey, I got some stuff in this envelope. Can you drop it off with Vlad when you're out there?
I think that's the type of thing that he's investigating. A lot of people are speculating that that is true. Makes sense to me. Why did Saudi Arabia pay Jared Kushner $2 billion? Is Jack Smith investigating that? Sounds like that's very possible. I think some people would call it probable. So that's very interesting. Of course, he was doing it, not publicly. He was keeping it under seal. So now Judge Cannon, if the Republicans are even smart enough to figure out what I'm saying here, that it just gives them another thing to complain about.
Now he's saying I sold it. I didn't sell it to anybody. I don't need money. I got billions and billions, the likes of which nobody has ever seen.
So anyway, all right, we're going to talk about that. Well, let's go to a call here quick. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about what went on this weekend with Dean Phillips, a Minnesota congressperson. David in St. Paul. Hey, David.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to, I feel like Mike Pence didn't really, he did the right thing on January 6th, obviously. Mm-hmm. He should have telegraphed that he wasn't going to do it. And maybe we wouldn't be in this situation if Trump didn't even, if it wasn't even, if he would have had the courage to come out and say, this is what they're planning on doing and I'm not doing it, and went public with it instead of having to consult with lawyers. But
I agree.
But also I think the reason he's coming out now and being stronger than he had been is because the indictment came out, and it's basically what he's going to have to testify for he does go on the stand. And so he has, now he can be consistent with what he's saying, as far as Trump saying he was too honest when he didn't want to overturn the election. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's I think this was the moment that he has been waiting for, why he didn't have a backbone until now. And now he's like, okay, well, now I'm probably going to have to take the stand in this hearing, and I'm going to have to tell the truth. So I'm going to start telling the truth now, and Trump's not going to like it. And so I may as well hit it hard, you know?
That's right. And I'm still waiting for the conspiracy to come out that involves President Obama with all this, too. How he's related to this.
Oh yeah, because it. Well,
I wonder how they're gonna tie him in. You know.
Well, he's the he's the real president right now. That's
I'm just
the because
so.
Biden as scared of Biden and because is Biden a criminal mastermind or has he lost his faculties? Which one is it? They argue in both directions.
I think Obama taught him how to be a criminal mastermind myself.
Right, so. There you go. That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call, David. Yeah, David was joking there, by the way. He doesn't actually think that about Barack Obama. We're just helping the Republicans out with their messaging a little bit there. So Dean Phillips went on TV. There had been some talk about him maybe getting into the Democratic race and primarying against Biden. Now, he wasn't commenting on that. It somehow got let out of the bag maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And people were asking him questions and he was not commenting. Well, he came out this weekend finally. I know he was locally here on WCCO, a show on Sunday morning. He was also on Face the Nation on Sunday morning. And so there is a Minnesota Reformer article written by Patrick Koulikan, our friend who comes on the air here quite often, weekly, I think, actually. And there are some things here, and Patrick Koulikan says that he's kind of coming around to see what Dean Phillips is saying here. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with it, but I just am saying that we got to be extremely careful with this. So I'll read from the article in Minnesota Reformer. During a Sunday appearance on Face the Nation, Phillips laid out the scenario of an unpopular incumbent and the ruthless authoritarian. Of course, one of them being Biden and the other being Trump. The consequences, this is a quote from Dean Phillips. The consequences, I believe, are going to be disastrous. So my call is to those who are well-positioned, well-prepared, have good character and competency. They know who they are. I'm asking them to jump in because Democrats and the country need competition. Totally agree with that. I know Dean Phillips pretty well. I, you know, worked with him a lot when he ran mostly in 2018. And I see him a couple times a year. We're very friendly. I saw him on the 4th of July. He came up, gave me a big hug. You know, I told him, hey, I'm going to come to D.C. this fall. He said, hey, let me know. We got to hook up. You know, so I know him. He is one of the best people I've ever had the honor to get to know a little bit. And I don't disagree with what he's saying here. I don't disagree with what he's doing. By the way, his father died in Vietnam when he was little. He wasn't old enough to even remember his father. He might not, I don't know if he even met his father, but either way, his father died when he was a baby, and his mother then married Eddie Phillips, who ran Phillips Liquor Company, a huge, huge company. And Dean insisted on coming up from the bottom. He drove a truck for a while, I think, and, you know, I mean, he just had different jobs with that business, starting like when I think when he was like in high school or something, and but he eventually became the CEO, and he's got two daughters, and he was involved in a lot of philanthropy before he was elected to Congress. He a lot of people know him for that. He put a lot of his resources behind philanthropic causes because he's a really, really good person. And, you know, people try and make him out to be a dilettante, but he's not. He's really, you know, he stands up for strong things. He ran an incredible campaign, first Democrat to win in the area of District 3, which is where I live, in 50 years. First Democrat to win in 50 years. And started a wave that now has, you know, my state senator, Kelly Morrison, who's also good friends with Dean Phillips. And she's the first Democrat to be in either the House or the Senate in this area in the history of Minnesota. Anyway, so going to the beginning of this article, I'm going to say a few things about that that I don't necessarily agree with. Democrats have their eyes closed and are silently walking toward a cliff. President Joe Biden has accomplished more important progressive policy priorities since Lyndon Johnson, but in a recent poll, he's running even with the thrice-indicted would-be authoritarian Donald Trump. Given the Electoral College tilt toward Republicans, that translates into a Trump victory. Now, again, like I said last hour, I think that these points of view are acting like we're in a, you know, the previous world, not this new, you know, parallel universe that we passed into in 2016 and are now passing into another one. This it doesn't consider a few things. One of them is recent poll. Got to be extremely careful with polls. You've heard me say it 100 times. Later on in the article, it says just 1% of 18 to 29-year-olds strongly approve of the way Mr. Biden is handling his job, and 94% of Democrats under 30 say they want another candidate to run in 2024. That's from some poll, and Gen Z, the reason it says 1% of 18 to 29-year-olds, I'd really like to see how many 18 to 29-year-olds they polled, because 18 to 29-year-olds are extremely difficult to poll. Democrats under the age of 30, I think Democrats under the age of, you know, 50 are basically nearly impossible to poll. So I just don't trust those kind of numbers. And also, the main thing here is President Joe Biden has accomplished more important progressive policy priorities since Lyndon Johnson. You're talking about kids, you know, 18 to 29, they want to get their student loans relieved. They, you know, want to have a decent job. They want to be able to go to school. They want to, you know, they want somebody to do something about climate change. And Joe Biden's doing all of these things. I have a 20-year-old daughter. She highly approves of Joe Biden's accomplishments. Now, she might be more informed than a lot of people her age just because of who I am, you know, because I make her listen to stuff. Not really. I don't actually. But, I mean, she obviously is exposed. But what Dean Phillips is saying here is that, you know, why don't we have some competition within the Democratic Party? Now, I totally agree with that. But I got to say, going back to 1968, Bobby Kennedy was totally positioned to become the president. And, of course, we all know what happened. He got assassinated. And then Gene McCarthy entered the race. And Hubert Humphrey ended up being the nominee. But a lot of people think that Gene McCarthy hurt Hubert Humphrey. Hubert Humphrey, you know, maybe he's a great guy, and maybe he was he did a lot of good when he was in the legislature, both for Minnesota and for the country. But as far as being a candidate, he was not a good candidate. He wasn't good at running a campaign. I've seen a lot of film of him back when he ran against John F. Kennedy, and he had no clue of how to run against John F. Kennedy or really anybody else. And in a national setting, you know, he won a lot of elections, but nationally, not so much. The only national election he was a part of, I think, that he was successful in was when he became vice president with LBJ in 1964. He was his running mate. And he became vice president. Well, he became vice president shortly after John F. Kennedy was killed. And Lyndon Johnson became president, chose Hubert Humphrey, and then they were running mates in 64 and won. And then Johnson dropped out a lot because of the Vietnam War. He was feeling horrible about things. He knew the Vietnam War had turned into something completely out of his control, and I think he was starting to, as kind of horrible of a human being as he was, I think he was starting to feel bad about the atrocity of that war. And anyway, he dropped out, and then Hubert Humphrey became our candidate, and everybody thought he was going to win because Nixon was a loser many times. You know, he lost against John F. Kennedy in the presidential race in 1960. And then in 1962, he lost a gubernatorial bid in California. And that's coming off of being the vice president of the United States. And that's when he said, you know, you won't have Richard Nixon to kick around anymore. But he came back in 1968 when he saw that Johnson dropped out. And especially then when Kennedy got killed. Now, Nixon entered before Kennedy got murdered, but that's when Nixon thought, wow, I could win this now. and he did, but he cheated. You may have heard me tell that story. It took years to find out about his cheating in 1968. But anyway, we're talking about the Democratic Party here. I'm going off in the weeds. Sorry about that. And we do need to take a break, but there's a lot more to talk about on this subject when we come back. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be right back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We're talking about Dean Phillips' appearance this weekend, where he is saying that some Democrats should get into the race and primary because the Democrats have a wide berth of diversity, and we need competition in this country. Okay, I agree with all of that. When asked if he was going to run, because that's what the rumors were, was that he was going to run against Joe Biden. What he said on Sunday when he was asked that point blank is he said, well, I haven't completely decided that yet, but he also said, you know, he wants people who are well-positioned, well-prepared, have good character, competency. They know who they are. He wants them to jump in. And he said, I think I could be president, but I don't think I'm well-positioned to run for president right now. So he did say that. So he's urging other people, and sounds like he's talked to people, or, you know, obviously we would have a lot of good candidates on our side. The Republicans have like 12 people running, and none of them are a good candidate. You know, Hakeem Jeffries would make a great presidential candidate. Here's one. Kamala Harris. I know people don't think she would be good, but she ran a great campaign. The beginning of her campaign, she would be good. And they're just starting to get her to go out and talk about all of the economic accomplishments that have been done by the Biden administration. And Joe Biden's just starting to do that, too. So all these points about that he's not popular, and then it, you know, everybody's saying the reason he's not popular is because of his age. Well, Trump is only 2 years younger than him. And how old was Bernie Sanders even in 2016?
Bernie's, I'm the guy that you want to hear this from.
No, I didn't want to hear his old man pointy finger. I agree with everything that he says, and I've been a Bernie fan for decades because I agree with everything he says, and I agree with him on all the issues. But he was horrible. He's not fun to listen to. He says the right things, but he's not the personality that's, you know, going to rub you right. And he was really old even then. And now he's had a heart attack. And he's, why did all of these people who called themselves Democrats at the time, it's hard for me to believe that they were, but, and then a lot of them voted for Jill Stein, I guess, just as to punish Hillary Clinton. And, you know, so Gene McCarthy, I'm pretty mad at him because of Nixon winning. I'm pretty mad at Ted Kennedy for trying to run against Jimmy Carter in 1980. And what happened? We got another fascist regime again with Ronald Reagan. And then Bernie. I don't know, Bernie. I've been pretty angry with Bernie. You know, he acted like a, you know, red hot, angry old man in 2016. He really messed up the Democrats' run for the presidency. I'm not saying we need to coronate anybody. I wasn't saying Hillary Clinton deserves to be coordinated back in 2016. But Bernie Sanders had a lot of Democrats really pissed off, and they voted for someone else. And Jill Stein had enough votes in three of the battleground states to beat Hillary Clinton, for Donald Trump to beat Hillary Clinton, I should say. The margin was very small, and Jill Stein took that same amount of votes away from Hillary Clinton, a lot because of Bernie Sanders. Now, I totally agree with Bernie Sanders. I totally agree with Dean Phillips. I mean, Dean Phillips and I think, probably agree on 90% of stuff. Actually, personally, knowing him, probably 100%. But, you know, as a congressman, he's not as hard-hitting as I prefer. But he's, like I said, he's an incredible person, and I'm very glad that he's my congressman, and I support him endlessly as my congressman or something else that he would want to be in the capacity of serving the country. But we got to be extremely careful. And I'm going to point out a couple more things about this subject and say a couple more things and go back in history again and really, you know, go up to a satellite view and look down on this and see how things have been affected for a very long time and what needs to be done and what kept getting interrupted. When we come back from a short break, you're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson in on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be right back.
Forward spells the same.
How does this sound?
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We're talking about the point that Dean Phillips went on TV this and came out with what he thinks in that some we should have competition within the Democratic Party. We should have a primaries and things like that this year. Now, normally when we have an incumbent, you know, the DNC kind of says, guys, you know, we have an incumbent. Let's stick with this. I don't necessarily agree with that, but here's the thing. The fascists keep sneaking back in. The Republicans have known since before Nixon that they could not win a national election anymore. And that's why every president that is a Republican that has become president, including and since Nixon, have done some massive scheme to cheat their way into the White House. And the Democrats don't help when we're not strong. And we're stronger now than we've ever been. You know, people are saying Joe Biden's not popular. I just don't think that's true. I think the polls, I don't even know why we're polling, to tell you the truth. The way things are now, it's different. We're still polling the way that we did decades ago. And it polls, they need to be massively reworked. I really don't think that polls are including the young people, Gen Z, the voters, who are, you know, 18 up to 45 or 50, you know, beyond Gen Z. It happened in 1968. The Democrats were not strong because they were primarying each other and didn't have the greatest candidates. It happened in 1980. Coupled up with Reagan cheating to get into the White House, we weren't as strong as we could have been. You know, history shows that Jimmy Carter was actually a really good president fighting against some really difficult things that were going on. And then, you know, and then Bernie in 2016 really kind of splitting the Democratic Party in half. And then now in 2020, Joe Biden wins with almost 7 million more votes. You know, and like 80 more electoral votes. It was a really big win. And now he has accomplished more than any president has good things that the people want. More than any president has, they're saying, than Lyndon Johnson. I say he's done more than Lyndon Johnson. It's just Lyndon Johnson got some good legislation passed that was difficult to get passed. That was, of course, he carried over the finish line for John F. Kennedy. But I think we go back to not LBJ, but FDR. Biden has done more for this economy than any president since FDR, I think. And we're seeing real results. And he's not really even campaigning yet because he's president. And why not let Donald Trump, you know, tear the whole Republican Party down? That's what's going on this summer. Joe Biden is starting to go around, and so is Kamala Harris. They're going to be in a much different spot, even next spring. They're going to have sold all of this stuff to the American public. They're starting to do it now, and they're going to be doing it for months. They're going to be more popular. Donald Trump might be in jail. And Donald Trump lost huge to Joe Biden. And again, America will not stand for women to not have their reproductive rights. That issue alone. So basically, I feel like, you know, we can, because again, I love Bernie Sanders. I'm pissed at him for what he did in 2016. But he had a perfectly good right to do it. I don't think he would have won against Trump. Some people say he would have beat Trump. I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have done as well as Hillary Clinton. And, you know, so people say, well, don't you want to vote for somebody that you really want? Don't you want to vote for not just somebody who is kind of a bit of a compromise? You know, they're you definitely like them better than the Republican, but don't you really want to vote for somebody you're really passionate about? Yeah, I do. But we have to bury the Nazis first, and we've not done that. They keep sticking their hand up through the dirt. We almost get them out in the 60s. They themselves realize, oh my God, we can never win the White House again. So they lie to Southern people. They pull the whole Southern plan that Nixon did. And then they, you know, finagle with Johnson trying to end the war, making the war go on longer so that he could become president. So then we get Nixon, fascist, Nazi. Yes, I'm calling him a Nazi. The Republican Party is showing themselves to be Nazis. They're doing things Nazis do. But we'll call them fascists for now because that's more accurate. The Nazis ended, although they show up next to DeSantis supporters at Disney World. But, you know, let's not talk about that, right? We're not allowed to talk about that. We need to bury the fascists deep enough so they can't reach their hand back up through the dirt again. Then we can, you know, AOC. I would love to vote for AOC. I love AOC. I agree with everything she says. I think she's incredibly intelligent and would be a superb president. I think Dean Phillips would be a superb president. I named a few others. A lot of people would, I would be a good president. But again, like Dean said, yeah, I think I'm ready to be president, but I don't think I'm in a good position. I think he said, I'm in a good position to be president, but not in a good position to run for the presidency. And because he's smart, you know, he's not well known enough, blah, 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 blah. But he's a great guy. I would love for him to be the president of the United States. I would love for Bernie Sanders to have been the president of the United States so that we could implement all the stuff he talks about. And he's not the only one who talks about all that stuff, by the way. You know who got a lot of Bernie Sanders stuff passed into law? Not Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders hasn't done anything that he's talked about. But you know who has gotten a bunch of laws that Bernie Sanders believes in passed into law? The Joe Biden administration did. That who? It's different from just being the guy who says the stuff and believes the stuff than the guy who can beat the other side, bury them deep enough so they can't reach their hand back up again in 4 or 8 years. Because if we would have buried them deep enough in 1968, they would not have won in 1980. They would have been gone. They would have been in the deep forest, just like what we did after, you know, going into the recession or the Great Depression. Democrats had power for decades after that because the Republicans ruined the country And now the Republicans have ruined the country again. We can't keep afford. We can't afford to have them keep ruining the country. We need to do this right. I don't want to be the old white guy saying, oh, we got to vote for the old white guy. But we've got to make sure that we win this election, because other countries are not going to let us move to their country. And I'm telling you right now, if Donald Trump or any Republican becomes president, I don't want to live in this country. They're going to make it into Nazi Germany, just like Netanyahu's trying to do in Israel. And a bunch of other countries are starting to do this. That's what's going to happen here. I don't want to live here unless a Democrat wins the White House. So we've got to do this right. We got to be careful. We got to keep our eye on the ball here. We can't play around. Again, I don't disagree with what Dean Phillips is saying here. I don't disagree with Bernie Sanders and everything he believes in. But we've got to win this election, period. So we've got to be careful. So, yeah, I just... starting to play around right now, I just think is not a good idea. We've done it before, and the results were disastrous. And why would the results not be disastrous even more so this time? We got to take a short break. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mikkelsen sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be right back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. There's an article in the Boston Globe that's entitled, "Why Are Republicans So Obsessed with Kamala Harris?" There's another question that I don't think is being looked at. The Republicans, she's making the Republicans very nervous. And Democrats are looking around her right now. And I think that's a mistake myself. Somebody who disagrees with me, John from Minneapolis. How you doing, John?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to, you know, I'm very much a progressive liberal voter, and I support and still support Bernie Sanders and everything that he's about. And I think
I do too. I do too.
Mistaken. Yeah, I think you're mistaken in putting any of the blame for Hillary Clinton's loss on Bernie Sanders, or not giving Bernie the credit that he is due for bringing the Democratic Party at least far enough where they get, you know, a good portion of the independent voters and a good portion of the young voters. But if they were, you know, if they really want to get rid of the Nazis and the you know, far right, then you got to go to the left. And if you look at Bernie's platform, the same platform he's had, you know, with new revisions in terms of, you know, times change, but everything that he fights for is supported by more than 60%.
Yes, and everything that he fights for, a lot of the stuff he fights for was implemented by Joe Biden. So
because he had 100% of Bernie Sanders' support and the progressive wing of the party.
Yeah, that's fine.
But Bernie,
that's fine.
Bernie
I don't
does everything right in terms of politics, and for you to blame him. Is Bernie running this year? No, he's not running this year because he knows that Joe Biden is the one that we need to elect this year under the circumstances. But if Bernie had run versus Hillary, there's no question he would have won. There's no question, because he would have gotten, even if he got 2% of the Trump voters who don't want to vote for traditional politicians, he would have won. And if the Democratic Party would get further to the left where the true voter sentiment is, we would win hands down everything.
I 100% agree with you. Absolutely. And that's why I was going through the whole rant of, if we would have buried the Nazis by now, we could be 100% Bernie Sanders. We could be 100% as progressive as we want because 90% of America is progressive. 90% of America agrees with Bernie Sanders.
Right, but if the Democratic Party keeps holding us back because of, you know, the traditional conservative Democrats, we don't need them. We need all the independents.
Yeah.
We don't need the old people who are stuck in the grass and don't understand that you've got to fight fire with fire. You got to be aggressive.
I didn't want Joe Biden to be our nominee in 2020 either, but now he is doing exactly what you're describing. He is fighting fire with fire. He's actually getting things done. He is an old white guy, but he's doing the stuff that Bernie Sanders has been talking about for decades. And so I'm just saying we need to bury the Nazis, and then I want to vote for AOC, you know?
You can't bury the Nazis if you go with a moderate Democrat.
Joe Biden's not being a moderate Democrat. I would rather.
And why is he not? Why is he not being a moderate Democrat?
Because
of Bernie Sanders.
Well, okay. Bernie Sanders should get a lot of credit for that, and I think people have been saying that. You know.
I don't think no credit, and that he caused a lot of problems. That's what you've been saying.
I think that he damaged our effort in 2016, and I think it helped Trump get elected. But I've also said I agree 100% with both you and him. So we're not against each other.
Hillary Clinton has the most negative. If you look at the numbers that have been used in politics for over 45 years,
you're missing, you had
no chance of winning.
I didn't want her to be the nominee back then either. You and I agree. I'm not trying to stick up for Hillary, and I'm not trying to completely punish Bernie Sanders. I'm just saying I'm a little miffed at him because I think he did some damage that ended up, you know, inadvertently, not on purpose, getting Trump in the White House. But listen, you and I actually agree. I know that you're a strong Bernie supporter and you don't want anyone to say the slightest thing bad about him. I understand that. That's how Bernie supporters were back then. They were harder to talk to than conservative people at that time. But and that's kind of what I'm talking about. But I'm going to let you go, John. Thanks for your call. I think it's a robust conversation that we had. This article from the Boston Globe. One would think that DeSantis and Haley, who, like their fellow Republican presidential candidates, are getting steamrolled by Donald Trump. You'd think they'd be spending more time attacking Trump. Instead, they're fixated on Kamala Harris, whom the Biden administration is deploying as their rapid response person to fight Republican attacks on American history, abortion rights, and democracy, other things like that. Why are the Republicans so scared of Kamala Harris? Do they see that she's going to maybe be a future president? They seem to see it more than Democrats do at the moment. Listen, I got to let you go. I'll be back in a couple of weeks again on the Matt McNeil Show. Todd Mickelson sitting in. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll see you later. Bye.